Good morning, my friends. First, I want to express my gratitude to all of you who joined me in the recognition that there is only one presence on Earth. Your effort raised up that very expression, demonstration of that presence, appearing as harmony, on Earth. And so I am thankful for your work. This morning we are going to start a new series of talks on the book by Joel called Man Was Not Born to Cry. And to be honest, I don't know why. This is what I've been directed to, what I heard in my meditation, so we will start with the introduction of this book, which to my knowledge hasn't been covered by anyone else, and we'll just see where it leads. Maybe it's the only chapter that'll be covered, maybe we'll cover the whole book. I hope so, because not much has been done with it. And so this is called Man Was Not Born to Cry. And up at the top it says, Man's Eternal Quest for Self, capital S-E-L-F, Knowledge. Which would indicate that this is a book about self, or at least instructions on how to experience that self. And my copy was published by Carol Publishing Group. Actually, it says a Citadel Press book. And the foreword, or the introduction, was written by Joel himself in 1963. And if you remember, 1963, he stated clearly, was a year of deep initiation, one in which he experienced such a deep mystical experience of consciousness that he was able to come out of that and tell of crucifixion and ascension and what they really mean. And so this book starts with his introduction. Only instead of calling it introduction, he calls it simply awake. Awake. And in this, if you will read this, and incidentally I suggest if you haven't read this book that you get yourself a copy. You can go online to many sites and find these books very inexpensive. But if all else fails, go to Amazon.com and get Man Was Not Born to Cry by Joel Goldsmith. And so he starts this chapter by telling us, awake, awake. The chapter, or the introduction, states that we, all of us, come to a spiritual teaching hoping for a demonstration of harmony of one form or another. And our attention is on the form. Harmony of relationships, harmony of pocketbook, harmony of health. In one form or another, or in one way or another, we are looking for better human experience. And he states that's legitimate for the new person. But there must come a time when we recognize that spiritual truth and the spiritual path are not here to improve our human experience. If you reach the place where you stop trying to improve your human experience, stop trying to demonstrate supply or health or companionship, then you are ready in earnest to enter the spiritual path, the mystical path. And so we have an idea at the very first page, first part of this book, that we are here to learn about our soul, our capital S self, the I in our midst. And so he goes on to explain that we live in our sense mind, our sense interpretation, our senses. We live through them and in them. And most of us live our entire lives in that way. What you see around you, the people, the places, the conditions, the events, what you hear spoken about these people, places, and things, what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, is most people's complete world while here on Earth. Others, he points out, enter a mental realm. Most of us in this 21st century, because of education and just the advancement of mankind, have also found this mental realm. When I was 8, 9, 10 years old, my mother would drag me off to cultural events, which I really didn't want to attend. But I went with her. She needed somebody with her, and so I was volunteered, and I would go. I went to the Museum of Natural Science. I went and heard a string quartet. I heard a symphony orchestra. I looked at art in a museum, sculpture. And later she encouraged me to read, which I did. I was handed Aesop's Fables, Grimm's Fairy Tales, Andersen's Fairy Tales, and shortly after that she ordered the World Book Encyclopedia. And so it opened me to the mental realm, where I could appreciate art and music, and I still do, by the way. And mathematics, and higher learning, which eventually led in time to a couple of college degrees. One in computer science, one in business management, and one in psychology. However, the sense world and the mental realm, neither are the realm where our self exists. Neither one are the realm of soul. And Joel talks a great deal in this introduction about soul. And he says, you just sit down and ask yourself what you know about soul, and you'll find it's very little. Think of the word soul, he says, for a moment, and see how little you know about it. And then remember that the rest of the world knows even less than you do, because at least you have discovered a great deal in the writings about soul. The soul, he says, is imprisoned in the tomb that we call human experience, the tomb of mind and body. If we are to experience the soul, we have to break through the limitations of the body and the mind. And so you see, he is telling us at the very beginning that this book, this series of talks he made, which were turned into a book, are designed to help you break free from the limitations of mind and body, that which he calls a parenthesis in eternity. This is a parenthesis, these five physical senses and this mental realm. It's a tiny little sliver of the vastness of eternity. And most of us live our lives in that parenthesis and never break free. We do not know the soul. We do not know our very own soul, our very own self. So how do we break free? How do we get out of just the physical sense world and the mental realm? Obviously not by taking thought. I'm sure many of us have made affirmations and denials and only to discover we were still stuck in a mind and a body, still stuck in a human experience, in a parenthesis. So that doesn't work. Well, we're told that the secret is meditation. We break out of the parenthesis. We experience ourself, capital S-E-L-F, our soul, while in meditation. But that's just the beginning. Only in the beginning. We catch glimpses, inspired visions, he calls them, of our soul, of our spirit. So we can gather from just the first few pages that we are not here to improve a human experience. We are not here on the spiritual path to practice principles to improve a parenthesis. My kingdom is not of your parenthesis. And if you're still trying to pull my kingdom into your parenthesis, then you can understand the reason for failure. Remember, Joel said he had a hard time getting even his students to see that the spiritual path is not a matter of pulling the kingdom of heaven into your human experience, but rather rising above that human experience into the kingdom of heaven, or breaking free from mind and body and experiencing your very own soul. Listen to this paragraph. Some become so frightened at the first glimpse of the soul realm that they never go that way again. And I hope that is none of us. God is light, he says, and to come face to face with that light is more blinding in its intensity than to look directly into the hot sun. So it has been frightening. It takes an adventurous spirit to make more than one attempt. It is not that God is frightening, but that the human senses are frightened by the unknown. Actually, there is nothing to fear. As a rule, he says, progress on the spiritual path is so gradual that the entire way is one of joy. Here and there, there will be experiences that are momentarily frightening because you had perhaps expected something different. For example, you may have thought that every day would be a joyous experience, whereas those periods are few, and the periods of barrenness and emptiness and the feeling that you are separated from God are many. Actually, these are more necessary to your spiritual unfoldment than sitting on cloud nine, because without the complete barrenness, you are a vessel already full and nothing new can enter. You have to lose your concepts of God and what you expect of God. And so you see, he warns us from the beginning. If you've gotten to that place where you are no longer trying to demonstrate an automobile or a new leg or a new companion or a new source of supply, if you are not trying to pull the kingdom of heaven, the infinity of soul and the soul realm into your parenthesis, then you are ready to rise out of that parenthesis and have experiences, glimpses of your soul, of the spiritual realm, of my kingdom. And if these are sometimes frightening, it is because it wasn't what the senses expected. And so let the senses be still and have the courage to come again and again in order to drink more deeply of the soul and experience that soul realm. And don't look for nothing but joyous experiences, because that's not the way. There are many periods of barrenness in which you do not feel that soul realm. Try as you might, you cannot seem to enter it. And I've noticed that those periods, when they come, can be very barren and very empty. It feels almost as if you're just moving around, but the real life of you is not felt. But you persist, and I persist. And all of a sudden, when you least expect it, there it is upon you, the soul of you, the spirit of the living God, and you feel it. And, you are back. It never really left. It's just that momentarily you were stuck in a mind and body again, momentarily hypnotized by your parenthesis. It's all a matter of becoming dehypnotized, so that your attention is not focused so singly on the parenthesis of human experience. Then, when you are not so hypnotized, you are suddenly aware. Well, you are suddenly quickened into awareness of spirit and the spiritual kingdom. It's a real awareness. It's not a thought. It's not a desire. It's not a hope for. It's not a reading or a listening to someone else's words about it. It's not a hearing quotes in your mind. It's a quickening awareness. You're just suddenly lifted right out of the parenthesis, and you know it, and standing again in your soul. And so the first couple of pages have clued us in to the fact that this book is going to be not about demonstrating people, places, and things, but in arising out of those into our soul, into the soul realm, into the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom here and now. Again, he goes into some about the loneliness of this path, because those experiences you have while standing in your soul, first in meditation and later with eyes open, are not experiences that you can share with another. For instance, how could you tell another that, well, let's say, how could you go to work in the morning and say, you know, last night in my meditation, I realized there's only one living person. And that person is the living soul, the spirit. And everything else is an illusory parenthesis. And I realize that none of you exists. Furthermore, there's no personal self here, and I don't exist. What sort of response would you receive? You'd probably be eating lunch by yourself, for sure. So there's a certain amount of loneliness, too, that goes with this path. You would think, knowing the presence of God, that everywhere, that you are never lonely. And while you are in that presence, that is true. But in these periods of barrenness or emptiness, when you're emptying out your concepts, when you're emptying out everything you experienced in yesterday's meditation, it can be lonely. You're not experiencing the Spirit of God, your soul, and you have no one to talk to about the experiences you have had. That is very lonely. All right, so he explains that man was not created to be a slave physically, economically, mentally, but the purpose of man is to show forth the nature of God. Man originally was intended to be the instrument through which, or as which, God lives on earth. And there's a meditation there, because if you sit down, close your eyes to the sense world, and then remind yourself that the mental realm has no power, then you can stand still and recognize God sent its soul forth into expression to live you. In that meditation, well, it can serve to lift you out of the physical and mental prison into a glimpse of soul. And so we know that the purpose of meditation is to break free from the body and the mind, from human experience, from the parenthesis, and rest back in soul consciousness. Which is why we are told by Joel that the correct way to pray is to pray for anything you want, as long as it is not of this world. You may pray for anything, as long as it is not of this world. O Father, I am sorry I have tried to pull your presence into this parenthesis. Let me instead drop the parenthesis, and from now on I come to you open, empty, even barren. Fill it with thyself. Glorify me with the glory I had with thee before the parenthesis. Let thy light shine. Let soul reveal itself. I stand still. I bear witness. I of myself, I of the parenthesis, am nothing. Father, pour forth thy Spirit. Again, another time, we may just simply sit down and say to ourselves, I drop the body. I have nothing to do with it right now. Just rest. Just relax. I drop the mind. No more words. No more thoughts. No body, no mind. Now, soul, you take over. In these periods of silence, which you should be having 10 or 12 times a day, lasting only a minute or two, you invite the soul to reveal itself. You rest back with no ideas, no concepts, no thoughts, no words of truth. You rest back and let your spiritual self reveal itself. You ask God only for God itself. And the I of you, the soul of you, lifts you out of the senses, out of the mind. You will feel an inner quickening and an awareness will come upon you of a transcendental presence of soul, spirit, spiritual self, Christ, one with the Father. This soul really will reveal itself and its omnipresence. And it is not thinking thoughts about it or mouthing silently its name. It is the inner quickening, the awareness of it, of the invisible it, and then the resting the resting in it. This is how you awaken. Eventually, says Joel, you will be released permanently from the imprisonment of mind and body by an act of grace. Something will happen to you. Not if you just sit around and wait for it, but it will happen if you keep your thoughts struggling upward, or if you have these many periods of meditation in which you reach upward for anything you want, so long as you are reaching for something not of this world. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, or in quietness and in confidence shall be your upliftment, your awareness of soul. With these efforts, you prepare yourself for the act of grace that will eventually set you free. You can see now, says Joel, why angels are pictured with wings, and the reason I speak of soaring thoughts, mountaintop experiences, or the lofty heights of consciousness. When the soul is released, it flies upward. Not in time and space, but in consciousness. You see, again and again, we are being shown we are to rise out of the parenthesis, not improve it. If you improve the tomb, it may be a very beautiful tomb, but you're still dead in the tomb. This is not what the infinite way is about, improving your tomb, making it a pretty tomb. Even a healthy tomb, even a tomb crowded with friends and companions. How are you today? I'm doing fine. I'm practicing spiritual principles. Come on in and look at my tomb. It's beautiful, is it not? That's what it is when someone shares with you that they've practiced these principles and demonstrated a new leg or a new house or a new car or a new spouse. No, we are no longer interested in beautifying a tomb. Why seek ye for the living among the dead? Come and follow me into the higher realm of the soul. So, for many of us, we've lived 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe even 60 years in the tomb of mortality, the tomb of mind and body, the tomb of a human experience, the tomb called the parenthesis. Please decide you are ready to leave that behind and come up higher and be lifted up, awakened, quickened into a living soul. He reminds us of the meditation he gave us so many years ago to search your body from toes to the top of your head and realize you're not in a body. And then you only have to look at how many times you've not wanted to have a certain thought and it's come to mind unbidden. or those days when you have a song that's rolling around over and over and over in your mind and you cannot get it out, or the many times you've decided you're not going to worry or have a negative thought only to find yourself troubled later on in the same hour, then you will know you are also not in that mind. And it is the physical senses appearing as body and the mind, the thoughts appearing as human experience. This is the parenthesis out of which you must be lifted. Someday you will find yourself outside the body and the mind and realize, I am I am spirit, I am soul. Then, he says, you will be living a life of joy, heaven on earth, but not until you see me as I am. See yourself, capital S-C-L-F, as it is, not in a mind and body, but incorporeal, spiritual, omnipresent, and free. Then you will know why it is written in the Bhagavad Gita, weapons reach not the life, flame burns it not, waters cannot o'erwhelm. For you are I, made of the very nature of God, indestructible, indivisible, inseparable from God. Neither life nor death can separate you from life, God, love, fulfillment, your very own soul. And that's the introduction called Awake, written in Kailua, Hawaii, on June 30th of 1963. And that's the introduction to this book, Man Was Not Born to Cry. I suppose it could be called Man Was Not Born to Live in a Mind and Body. No. Man was born to ascend out of, up over, a parenthesis, and dwell consciously, quickeningly, in the soul, in infinite, incorporeal omnipresence itself. This is the goal of the infinite way, to lift you out of the parenthesis into your infinite soul. Not as a thought or a theory, but as a conscious awareness. Joel felt that the chapter called The New Horizon in the Infinite Way was very important. And he refers to it quite a bit. Says that he doesn't find very many students studying it. He felt it was important because it describes what must happen to any individual in order to come out of a parenthesis and enter the soul realm. Here he calls it a universe of spirit. In Man Was Not Born to Cry, he calls it the soul realm. It is the same thing. It's an inner awakening. So in The New Horizon, he says, you must understand fully. That means completely, from your longest toenail to your longest hair on your head. With the totality of you, you must understand that hypnotism or belief is the substance or fabric of the whole mortal universe, both good and evil. These are dream pictures having no reality. These are a parenthesis, a tomb. You must be willing for the harmonious, the good, as well as the inharmonious or bad conditions to disappear completely from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived in. You see, you have to be willing to step out of a parenthesis. You see plainly, nowhere is this about practicing spiritual principles to make your human parenthesis, to make the tomb a better living place. It is about awakening out of the tomb. It is about resurrection out of the tomb of humanhood, out of a parenthesis. Why? Because reality is the soul realm. There is no reality in your human experience at any time. No person, place, or thing. Not bad and not good. That is a parenthesis. Yet above that parenthesis, in Man Was Not Born to Cry, in the introduction, he tells us there is a soul realm, and it is real, and we can experience that soul realm. We can be resurrected out of the tomb, out of the parenthesis, into that soul realm. And here in the New Horizon, he calls it a universe of spirit. Above this sense life, above the prison of mind and body, the tomb of mortality, the parenthesis of human experience, there is a universe of spirit. And this is governed by love. In it there are people, children of God, living in that temple of truth. And this world, this universe, this soul realm is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness. When you're living in that realm, in the soul realm, there's no more awareness of good or evil, no more awareness of mortal existence, no more awareness of a parenthesis in time and space. Don't you think it's about time that you joined us and became willing to let both the good and the evil go? Don't you think it's about time you became willing to step out of a parenthesis? Don't you feel it's finally time to rise into the spiritual universe, the soul realm, the kingdom here and now? And don't you see now what the real goal is of the mystical path? How do you do this? Well, I can tell you it's not with sitting down daily for a meditation that's an hour or two long. In fact, we were told specifically, do not do that. The way to become awakened, quickened into a living soul, is to have short meditations. Why? Because what you are doing is transitioning out of a life that is aware through the senses and the mind of a parenthesis in human experience. You are transitioning into a conscious, constant, continuous awareness of the soul realm, the spiritual universe, the kingdom, formed by consciousness, by God consciousness, eternal, immortal, invisible, incorporeal, ever-present, everlasting. We are transitioning from an experience in the tomb of mind and body to standing in the eternal kingdom, the temple not made with hands, not made with senses, but made by consciousness. Here, now, standing in it, feeling its quickening, its aliveness, its spiritual energy, spiritual love, spiritual being. Seek ye first the soul realm, the universe of spirit. Rest in it as a conscious experience, not a thought, a conscious quickening. And then your little parenthesis will show forth more of divine harmony, divine peace, divine abundance. Not by seeking to improve that parenthesis, by dropping it, rising into the spiritual kingdom and resting. More of that kingdom will bleed into your experience on earth. Eventually the two will become one. There will be one experience. Consciousness forming itself and appearing as your earth. And so we see that this book, Man Was Not Born to Cry, really is that man was not born to live in a parenthesis. In fact, man was not born. God itself, the soul, the infinite spirit, sent itself forth into expression. And that perfect self stands right here, flows continuously like a river. But to feel its influence, it will be necessary to die out of a parenthesis. What are the heavenly riches to which we are heir? A soul realm governed by love, with spiritual companions, grace ever flowing, springing up into life everlasting, incorporeality, untouched by any parenthesis, good or bad, complete and total innocence, made in the image and likeness of Father, perfect love, perfect presence, perfect life, perfect self, omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, maintaining and sustaining its expression, you, the soul, unto eternity. Now let us close our eyes one more time together today. This world is a dream, all of it. I do not have to work on that. I do not have to make a demonstration in a parenthesis in the mind. That parenthesis has no creator, only a series of universal beliefs. I renounce you. Be still. I, in the midst of me, I am soul. Lift me up out of the mind and its images. Let me rest and be aware and simply be conscious. Soul, reveal thyself, thy realm, and thy omnipresence. I in thee, thou in me, soul, infinite soul. And be not afraid. It is I. Thank you.